This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
Companies start to rethink how they're going to use office space. They need sensors, they need technology to sort of run experiments and see how people do use the spaces currently so that they can maximize the spaces that they have and get rid of spaces they don't need and sublease them out or cancel the lease or downsize.
Or just talk to your landlord and just tell them.
And then the secondary problem is, and some of this might be due to social distancing guidelines, but some of this also is you just should have a better meeting room technology. And it shouldn't be abused. So you talked about touchscreen, and we get the touchscreen issue there. I've seen situations where people just put a tablet or an iPad, and it can crash sometimes, or it runs out of battery. You're constantly having to power it, and it's hideous, and it can be expensive too, right? Because you're talking about an actual a tablet there. Then you've also got the germs that can be spread too.
Yeah,
with touchscreens.
Just think about the cost of the tablet. If you buy one tablet for yourself, it's not that expensive. But just imagine that you need to buy tablets for every desk in your office. And then you need also to hire someone who's going to go and every day make sure that actually every tablet is working. Because they're going to, there's going to be some technical issues with them sooner or later. And then because these tablets are not really unique, it's not your unique piece of hardware, they're going to be, replaced or misplaced or something is going to happen to them at some point.
Damaged as well. Got those issues. So tablets.
If you base your technology on just like some like random tablets, you can encounter situations when just like you're gonna come to your office and the system just like it's not gonna work. And we wanted to make sure that our system is gonna work no matter what. Of course, it can also someone can come and with a knife to. Try to peel it off, but of course it's technically possible, but at the same time we provide our employees with many just like free devices in case they need to replace it immediately without even calling us. Of course we would be happy to help, but if they need to do it to 9 a.m. in the morning, they can do it as easily as just like placing a sticker.
So then we rolled that out and then we talked about Wi-Fi, and sort of the summary is that doesn't provide the level of granularity you need, and that's a function of the number of different access points or hotspots you have around the office. Surely though, it's a less issue to integrate it because people need internet access and they're going to get it from the Wi-Fi. And there's an incentive to provide better Wi-Fi coverage by having more hotspots so people have better connection. As a result of that, you can then get to better quality and accuracy. So that solution, what's your thoughts on sort of, that surely sounds like an easier solution.
In our case, we make sure that by implementing our solution to every desk and every meeting room and every lounge area, we give our clients enough data to make smart decisions, by making the smart decisions, they can save up to like $6.5 million on just like one location. So we actually have a case when one of our clients, it's a large bank, but only on one location they saved $6.5 million last year.
Wow.
And it's a lot of money. So usually our clients, let's say if you're talking about Boston, they usually save around $5 per square foot. And, I can also give like different data for different cities, New York, San Francisco, Chicago, Austin. So, of course, this number can be different depending how expensive is your current rent. But even if you're going to cut your expenses even like by 10%, let's say you're a corporation and you have a large portfolio, if you're going to cut this portfolio by 10% by switching to a hybrid style of work, which most of the companies are doing it now anyway, you can save a lot of money, and then you can rather spend this money on helping your employees or making sure that your employees are going to have convenient and comfortable workstation in their as a home. So in my idea is that we help companies save as much as possible, and then they can just invest this money into something else rather than just wasting this money on rent.
Got it. So if we talk about each of the other technologies here, for example, with Bluetooth or BLE devices or you know beacons, people inherently think that this is very scalable technology. It's very portable because we carry a smartphone in our pockets, and a smartphone can essentially be a receiver, and you know you can communicate with the sensor through a mobile app. So you know you looked at that. What were your thoughts on the iBeacon technology, and you know how do you sort of view that versus other solutions?
So our, as I mentioned, our first prototype was actually based on iBeacon technology. The problems that we encountered, I don't have it right here, but I can send you a picture later. So it would be as this thick. So basically...
About an inch or 2 inches thick.
Yeah, so you would need to implement it either on top of your desk, or you need to drill like a hole in your desk and then like put it there. But of course, like, you know, you cannot implement the same solution when we are talking with certain like really expensive meeting desks or with certain like lounge areas. It's not going to work that way. And then you would also need to make sure that all these devices, they have working batteries, because they either require a normal wire or they require a battery. And even with the best batteries that we found, you know, that they would work for years and years, at some point you would still need to replace them, and you need to make sure that this device is going to be like you can replace it if you don't want to just come back and change all of them. So you need to be able to change the batteries. So second problem that we encountered with iBeacon technology is that it wouldn't give us, sometimes it would glitch, meaning that if you had two desks close to each other, let's say if it's like, two desks like in front of another, sometimes your smartphone would sense a signal coming from a different desk and would react to it, to that other device, instead of to your device. So there were several, you know, like technical issues, but what was the most important for us that we wanted to make sure that our clients can implement our solution as fast as possible, and it wouldn't just require them all this headache of thinking about like should they drill holes in their desks or not.
So then you arrived at the conclusion that you want something that is based on a technology we're all very familiar with, NFC, where you have tags or readers, and you just simply have to tap it or touch it. And it's something we're very used to doing even today, you know, where we're paying for things. Apparently, you know, more than half the consumers in 2017, 56% of consumers use their smartphones to pay for goods by either tapping or waving it. I know I don't like going to a grocery store or any store right now and using my credit card to actually chip. You know, I'd rather just touch it or use Apple Pay and just, you know, be done with it. So that's ubiquitous technology, and it's sort of a behavior change. We're now used to just waving our hands like magic and something happens.
And you might not want to touch any screens, because I know that I hate when I need to touch any screens right now, and I always think about, you know, like washing my hands after. But you're going to touch your smartphone anyway. Like the only thing that you need in order to use Fresh Connect, you only need your own smartphone, which is, I think, awesome.
So it still takes advantage of the high portability that smartphones offer. And, you know, you could have somehow done that with iBeacons, but you went with pure NFC technology, which, and talk to us about sort of the cost side of it, because one would assume, you know, the implementation and installation of the iBeacon technology was prohibitive. You know, to some degree, you could compare it to installing tablets throughout the office. What about NFC? How does that work when it comes to its scalability and cost?
It is incredibly scalable, meaning that even if you have a client, let's say, in Alaska, and they want to, they want to start using our solution right now, or let's say if you have an office in Brazil, it only takes a week to start using our solution, so it is as easy as it could possibly be. So we can even send you our devices through the mail and give you a clear instruction on like where to place them, and like any person person in your company can do it. You know, locate them on any desk that you want to, like wherever you want to start using our system, and just try and see if it's actually give you any value or not. We still usually work. Usually we work with also like largest corporations that have like thousands and sometimes hundreds of thousands of employees. So in those cases, of course, you need to set up servers. You need to make sure that all the security protocols are working perfectly in according to your own company's policies. So usually this part takes time. But when we are talking to like a normal like mid-sized company, it's literally 1 week. It doesn't matter even like where you are. Sometimes we onboard a new client and it takes us like a day.
So Alan, obviously for the use case you've outlined, especially as you've explained it, the NFC offers a lot, and obviously that's why you've built your company around it. And you know, these are building blocks of many IoT and hardware startups and prop tech, NFC, Ibica technology, and others. Let's talk about biometric sensors for a moment. And I understand straight off the bat, biometric sensors aren't best suited for things like desk level booking, but you could use it for meeting rooms. You could have computer vision. There's many startups, for example, where you know there's a camera device. You look at it, it recognizes your face or even your eye. What's your thoughts on computer vision and biometric vision sensors?
That's exactly what I like about working on various like innovative office projects, because you can start with just simply putting our devices, and then if you want to add like a next level or if you just want to add like a next feature, if you have a budget, you can put all the screens, you can put like Face ID. In addition to existing technology, you're not going to be able to use Face ID to desks because that would be a little bit tricky and a little bit...
Yeah, because you're going to have to just suddenly stare down at the desk. Are you going to have an intrusive, you know, camera right in front of your on your wall or on your desk? So obviously that's out of the way.
No problem. Like if you have a budget to place, you know, like multiple cameras on every desk, come on, go ahead.
But I mean, people, you'll notice... behavior of how people use their desk, it's a very personal space. It's one of those areas in an office that is your territory. You know, you want to put your family photos there. You want to keep things the way they are. Now, of course, co-working and flex space might change that. But whilst that desk is yours, right, I like to put my mouse in a certain place. I like to put my phone in a certain place. I like to empty my entire pockets and leave it in front of me, right? So putting a hardware device there hardly sounds like a good idea. And I'm sure occupiers and employees don't like you touching their space.
I always talk against creating a big brother in the office. Although some companies prefer that approach, I think that in our case we really don't care how long, like how much time you spend on your lunch break, or you know, like how many times you go make yourself a cup of coffee. It's really none of our business. And we believe that it's none of anybody's business, but yeah, some companies, they have very strict rules. I know, as they want to put cameras everywhere, they want to make sure that, you know, they take screenshots of whatever you're doing in any moment. And I understand that, you know, depending on the type of your job, you know, like you might have a different level of, you know, security. And in some cases, it makes sense if you're working on something incredibly security demanding. But in most of the cases, you know, like I think these cameras, they're just not reasonable, to say the least. It doesn't mean that you can add them in the future, and you can totally add them to like meeting rooms, any like public areas, like lounge areas, but probably, you know, not desks.
Well, you know, we talk about the values here of privacy, and we talk about the experience and interaction with the space, but what about the securities? You know, one thing as a prop tech VC, there's a lot of IoT hardware startups I see, and security is often an afterthought. Functionality is usually first. Be amazed at how insecure IoT devices are. Only recently, a hacking group was able to breach a huge trove of security camera data, gaining access to live feeds of 150,000 surveillance cameras inside of hospitals, companies, police departments, prisons, schools. You know, companies as big as Tesla or Cloudflare were impacted. And that's scary, you know, as we implement technology, things like computer vision, the security layer of it can easily be exposed. And sometimes the way they gain access isn't, you know, how you may think. It may just be, and by the way, you got to appreciate this when you work with a prop tech startup, security on the outside layer is usually well protected. It's the inside layer where the issue is. It's the super admin passwords. It's the fact that team members can access your camera feeds even though they're not supposed to. This happens all the time. And in startup world, it's called God view mode. God view. God view is when you have the view of a god. You can go in and look at all the client's data across. And sometimes real estate companies aren't prepared for that. They may not appreciate that that Silicon Valley culture or that tech culture is actually a huge invasion on privacy. And you know, it might seem innocent, like, you know, you're building a startup, you want to easily check all accounts make sense. And the thing is, where does that line stop? You know, it can easily be abused. And, you know, some things that were exposed from this hacking scandal was a certain prison had named some of the camera feeds with nicknames and recorded some of the footage and put names on those footages in areas where you'd be surprised, where, hold on, you know, even a prisoner in a prison, surely they're entitled to some level of privacy. I mean, what happens to our constitutional rights? So, you know, our rights globally if they're just easily invaded upon?
In our case, we make sure that we take data issues incredibly important for us, and they always were. And the way we work with data that we just stored at our clients' servers instead of our servers, we work right now with top five banks, and of course they have incredibly serious security protocols. So the way we work with the data is that we just store all the data on their servers. We don't have access to it.
On their servers, yes.
Yeah, and of course, we work with teams of different IT experts from different departments to ensure that this data, you know, is never going to be accessed by anyone else. Yeah.